Well, it's good to see you all this morning, and I'm excited to share in our sermon today about choose to believe. Choose to believe. It's from Luke's Gospel in chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer. Will you say with me the prayer of illumination as printed in your bulletin or on the front screen, or, well, no, in your bulletin. Holy God, through Christ Jesus, you bring the light of the gospel into our lives as grace revealed. Help us to guard this treasure and to share it with others too, so that the faith that has lived in our ancestors and now lives in us may come to life in every new generation. We pray with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. The gospel presented this morning is talking about sin, faith, and duty. Starting in verse 5 in chapter 17. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And he replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down and eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We constantly want more. Constantly want more. And yet Jesus tells us time and time again, we have all that we need, and then some. Remember, this brief exchange in the Gospel of Luke follows Jesus' discussion of forgiveness. Forgive seven times a day. Forgive the same person seven times a day if necessary. I mean, no wonder those listening, disciples and apostles, those closest to Jesus and those, well, close but not all yet in, ask for an increase in their faith. How else does one forgive and forgive and forgive? Surely only through faith, right? Jesus' listeners know enough about themselves to know that what he requires will not be fulfilled without divine intervention and ongoing holy assistance. So they ask, well, perhaps they even plead, maybe even demand, "Increase our faith." And Jesus tells them, if you had even a modicum of faith, an inkling of faith, a mustard-sized seed-sized amount of faith, you could change the world. Defy nature, upend human nature, and forgive seven times a day, and then some. How many times, friends, how many times do we plead, this man in the mirror, plead with God for more? More courage, more peace, more wisdom, more discernment, more strength, more power, more love, more community, more unity, and more faith. And Jesus says, You have more than you need, and then some. We have the gift of God within us. And we have the power of God to rely upon. And we know the standard of sound teaching passed on to us. We have a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline. In other words, we have everything we need to answer God's call, do God's will, and follow the commands of Christ Jesus. And when the fire dies down, and we stumble, and we will, and we fail, and we fall short, there is grace. And then there is forgiveness. The odd transition in this Luke text reminds us of the truth of God's grace. On the surface, it doesn't appear to be a story of good news and grace. I've struggled with it because I probably read into it too deep, but maybe not. The language of slavery for me was problematic. Deeply problematic, especially in today's context. However, if, you know, getting past that first century assumption regarding the system that was set up, we'll discover a message of hope. Hope for those of us destined to never do enough to earn God's favor. We often believe we need to do more for God, but the sacrifice of Jesus means we can stop working to gain God's favor and trust our debt has been paid in full. In comparison to God, we are mere worthless slaves. Those on the bottom of the rung of society, and yet the very ones that Jesus came, the very ones so valued by God that God sent the Son to save us. We are justified by grace and grace alone. We seek to do more, but Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has done everything that we cannot do ourselves. We always want more, but Jesus' life, death, and resurrection gives us all that we need, and then some. And the message on this World Communion Sunday is a resounding call to rejoice in the gift of Christ Jesus, knowing that we are saved by faith, a faith that has been paid, that has the power to transform creation when we recognize the great debt Christ paid for us and extending that mercy to others over and over and over again. That's the work. Imagine the state of the world if our default position was one of grace rather than judgment, mercy rather than retribution, or forgiveness rather than punishment, or faith rather than cynicism. Imagine that. On this World Communion Sunday, in the days to follow, we might seek to rekindle these gifts, review these sound teachings, guard the good treasure entrusted to us, and exercise our faith, no matter how small, right? In ways that upend our norms. The state of our life together suffers when those of us entrusted with the good news of God fail to heed and share it. And despite the current climate of isolationism almost. And I know that exists on many, many different levels. I've talked about it this morning. We are connected. We are connected. We're not a church in Willow Spring by ourselves. And we exercise this by the table this morning. We exercise that by our clusters that we're clustered with Berea and Plainview and Oakland
and so many other area churches. We're clustered together in our presbytery and in our synod and in the greater body. But we're also clustered together with all the different churches within our community. Relentless self-serving acts ultimately destroy everyone. Followers of Christ know the expanse of divine grace, the lengths to which God goes to reach us, and this messianic mandate to love our neighbors, all of them, all over the globe. Now is the time to rekindle that gift. To take hold of the spirit of the power and love and the self-discipline, the self-disciple. Follow the sound teachings of Christ. Don't be ashamed of the testimony we are entrusted to give and proclaim it boldly. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it, all of it, every tribe, every nation. We are united in Christ. That's the common thread. The source of our identity is Christ above all other loyalties. Everyone is created in the image of God, and one for whom Christ died. And while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us, paid our debt. And we are justified by grace and therefore live in generous and joyous and forgiving responses of witnesses to the ends of the earth. We have all we need, friends. We have all we need, and then some, to do this because of Christ. And because we have Christ, we have enough. Imagine the state of the world if we entrusted this certain promise and acted on this gift of faith. This faith the size of a mustard seed. On this World Communion Sunday, don't just imagine it. Go out and try it. Go out and try it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.